And like others, I only have one page of notes, and there's not many notes on there. But there's a wealth in this morning. There really is. I'm not going to do it. Well, I hope I'll do it justice, but there's so much I could say. And really, the inspiration of this word came from that song that we've been singing in this last perhaps 6 months, The Word of God. The Word of God is light. I never willing, but you can put that up for me as a background as I share this morning. Just leave it up on the screen for me. For the Word of God is light in my darkness, hope for the hopeless, strong and true. For the Word of God is strength for the weary, a shield for those who trust in you, a shield for those who trust in you. Everything will fade. Everything will fade. The heavens and the earth will pass away, but you will remain. Yes, you will remain always. Jesus, faithful Word of God, the anchor of my heart. You're everything you say you are. Greater than my deepest need, the ground beneath my feet. Your promises won't fail me now. That was the inspiration for this word this morning. And I'm going to be talking about the foundations. G brought a word to the church several years ago, which really shook the church up. She brought a word. It was a stern word from God. And God said through Jean in the prophetic word, he said, you will never build in this church on anything other than Christ and him crucified. Don't try and build any other empire on this. But it will only be on him and his word. And that word has stuck with me ever since. And it's really a continuation on from that. And so what I want to be talking about this morning is really that the Father and Jesus himself to us is everything that he says he is. This world is full of things that talk about him, you know. And I want to talk about the living hope we have in him this morning. The living word that is here. Jesus is that word this morning. You see, what's sitting so far back? I think I'm going to move the pulpit right up there this morning. When I've got glasses on, I can't see you. You're like a blur in the background. And Jesus, our living hope. Jesus, our living word. Jesus, our living stone. I'm taking it from 1 Peter chapter 2, where it talks about this. You know, do you realize that you are living stones today? You know, some of us, we live lives as if we're dead, old dead old rocks. But I encourage you this morning, you're not dead old rock, you are a living, if you know Jesus, he says you are a living stone. Built up into a holy temple, you know, and it's not you that's going to build it, it's him that's going to build it. Takes the pressure off, you know, we don't have to build our empires. He'll build it with you if you're willing to allow him to cement you in the wall of his building, his holy temple. I'm talking spiritually this morning, not physically. I'm so used to physical things, walls and concrete and stuff like that. Sold it for 30 years. But now God has said you've got to build living stones. Living stones cemented together by his love and his Holy Spirit. Cemented together by all the things that this living word talks about. And this is where I'm coming from this morning. But I just feel I need to give quite a number of scriptures to lay a foundation this morning. Then I want to let the Holy Spirit move, hopefully. I know he will. Pray that I'll be receptive to what he's saying this morning. But several scriptures here. And as I said, the main text is coming from 1 Peter chapter 2. I just want to read you this first. Jesus, our living hope. And in 1 Peter 1, verse 3, it says this: praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. You know, if you're born again today, if you have given your heart to Jesus, if you've asked Jesus to rule your life, you know, he's given you a hope that is different to the hope that you had before you gave your life to him. Your hope today is different. You guys, your hope today is different. If you didn't have Jesus in your life now, I'd be very concerned about it. But I know, I'm concerned, but I'm not concerned. And up to death, as it were, because I know that God will take you through this. Same for Brenda this morning. You know, whatever, you know, God has given you a different kind of hope. It's not the same hope as you had before you knew Jesus. This is a different kind of hope. This is a living hope this morning. It says, you're giving us new birth into a living hope. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. So not only do we have this hope in him that is alive, but it never spoils, it never perishes, it never fades away. It remains consistent and constant. That's why we will say, that's why we can trust in him. Because that old text used to be when I was 14 years of age, across the little labour hall in Litchfield, used to say, Jesus Christ is saying, yesterday, today and forever, I used to look on it. You know, that's why there's a sign outside on that door as you exit that says you are now entering your harvest field. It's the truth. The harvest field's out there, it's not in here. In here is where we come as family. This is here is where we get birthed in the Word, but it's out there that the fulfilling of that Word happens. It's out in the harvest field. But oh, you know, because he doesn't change, I can be confident in him today. Because he doesn't change, I can be confident in him tomorrow. Because he doesn't change, I can be confident in him next week, next month, next year and the year after. He changes not. One of the hymns says, one of the old hymns say, he changes not. 1 Peter 1 verse 3. Romans 15, let me read you a few words from Romans. Romans 15, 12 to 13 says these words. It says this, and again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, the one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. And in verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a living hope. This is a hope that goes on. As we walk with him, as we talk with him, as we live our lives, this hope is a living thing. It's not a dead thing. It's not something we put in a bag and collect. It's something that we put within our hearts and we live it out every day. Yeah, today's been a rubbish day, but I've got hope for tomorrow. I know my tomorrow is secure in Jesus. Psalm 119, 74. Psalm 119, verse 74. So there's so many scriptures, I really feel I need to do this, just to lay these out this morning. It says here, May those who fear you rejoice when they see me, for I have put my hope in you. I want to read a few more verses. This is a lovely psalm that's been written here about, you know, this word fear, don't take it as fear as we're frightened to death. It means a reverent acknowledgement of who God is. Love in a deep sense of the word. Let me just read you verse 73, what the psalmist says here. Your hands made me and formed me. Give me understanding to learn your commands. May those who fear you, who respect you and love you, Lord, when they see me, for I have put my hope in your word. I know, Lord, that your laws are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. May your unfailing love be my comfort according to your promise to your servant. Let your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law, for your word, for Jesus, we can say, because he is our word, he is the living word, for Jesus is my pure delight. The psalmist says, for your law, for your word is my pure delight. And do we delight in his word? Do we delight in what he puts within our heart? Do we delight in what he's made us to be? Or we look at ourselves in the mirror sometimes and say, I don't really like what I see. You know, that's not really a good confession. Because you are who you are. And Christ has made you. You know, we're called not to look on the outside, but to look at what is in the heart. And God is calling us as His children to look in the heart. Living hope, a hope. Yeah. Those who see me, even though I'm struggling at the moment, may my testimony be so strong that people look on me and can have hope. Because they see that even though I'm going through this stuff, you know, they can hold on to. They get faith and hope will rise within them. And the last scripture here is 1 Timothy 6:19. Praise God. I've lost Timothy, where are you? Timothy, where are you? 1 Timothy 6:19. It says this. In this way I will... Now let me read from 17. It says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. It is if you've got money in the can bank this morning. Don't be fearful, don't worry. It'll be okay, they told me. Which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, this is the verse, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. You know, I want life that is truly life. This is talking about a different kind of life. This is talking about a living life. As Christians, living a life with Christ. Living a life with Christ in our hearts. But we're different. See, the hope that Christ gives us when we come to Him, as I said earlier, is different to the hope we once would have had. It was basically, well, it may happen, it may not happen. We now can have a sure hope. And what the Word says, that if Jesus says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. If this Word says it's true, then this Word is true. We can have confidence in that. I don't want to put my confidence in Bank of Santander and Caja Murcia and everything else, all these other banks. Yeah, then that's where we put our worldly goods for security. But boy, it's better to have security in Jesus this morning. You know, what the scripture says, the moth comes to eat and to destroy. And you know, if you've ever left stuff in the wardrobe for long. We never had moths since when I was a kid. My mother had an array of mothballs like you'd never seen. Everything used to stink. We went to church, we stunk of mothballs, but there was no holes in our stuff, I tell you. Even though they were old, there was no holes in them. But don't rely on the natural things around you. We need to rely on the hope that Jesus is. You know, He is our Word. Jesus, faithful Word of God, the anchor of my heart. I want my anchor to be in Him this morning. My hope to be in Jesus. Moving on. Jesus, our living Word. Go back to Peter again, just to... First Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, and it says this. Verse 22 says, now that you have been purified, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. Jesus, faithful Word of God, the anchor of my heart. Here it is again. You know, there is a living Word. This whole thing is a living Word. It's not a dead Word. You know, if we read this as a dead Word, if we read this just as a document, if you read this as a historical thing, you know, it will just be a document. It will be a historical thing. But if we read this and say, Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus to me through this, and He will reveal Himself to you. I know He will. That's His promise. If you seek me. You'll find Him here. You find other places too, don't get me wrong. But He is the faithful Word of God. John chapter 1, verse 14, you'll know this straight away. I don't know if anybody can shout it out to me. No? Talks about right at the very beginning, at the birth of Jesus. And this is what John writes. John 1, 14, and he says this: the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is our living Word, church, this morning. He is our living Word. And then just flicking over to Mark 4:14. Mark 4:14 says these words. It says this. Very short. The farmer sows the Word. Part of the parable of the sower. The farmer sows the Word. What are we sowing? That's a question for me, a question for you this morning, a question for the church. What are we sowing? Are we sowing grief, despair, woe is me, woe is this, whatever? We can be doing that, you know, we can be sowing so much negativity, all sorts of things. The Father sows the Word. I challenge you, church, we need to be sowing this out there. To our friends, to our neighbours. I don't mean go up to them with the Bible and say, this is what it says about you. But take what it says and be so thankful for what God has given to you, God has put into your life, that you exude. Who did that thing with exude? It was some comedy sketch from years ago, but you know. Exude, you know, we want to, yeah, it was a play that we wrote, we did it in the UK years ago in church. Exude, you know, we ought to be exuding the Word. It ought to be welling up within us. We ought to have it so much in us that when we speak, and I don't mean we talk silly all the time, but we have a word for somebody. It just wells up within us. Somebody comes with a situation. We don't have to go and say, oh, well, there, never mind. We can say, Jesus says that he'll be with you right through this. Just let it come from the heart of what God has placed within you. Jesus, it's a living Word. It's not a word to be banked and put in your bag. It's a word to be put in here, and then it will come up. If you just trust him. I read something during the week, you know, we so often want to, the preachers want to get their sermons right, worship leaders want to get everything all just tied down and sorted out, and it comes over clinical and lovely and great and everything. And this guy says, oh, that as a church we'd be prepared to take a risk. Just take a risk. You know, not to have it all sewn up so it all looks great. But just take a risk for Jesus. Just a step out in faith and just believe that God's in there. Just put those words in your mouth to deliver, come through for you. You know, we've forgotten how to be risk takers in the church. I say that lovingly. Say that to me too. We have forgotten how to be risk takers in the church. We want everything tied down, everything neat and everything tidy. We need to sometimes be prepared to take a risk for Jesus. So let's go back into Peter. And this is where I'm going to sort of tie it up this morning, pretty much. Let me read this to you. This is from where we left off. So I'll start at chapter 2, verse 1 of 1 Peter. Therefore, rid yourselves. Other versions say, lay aside. Therefore, lay aside, rid yourselves of all malice, of all deceit, hypocrisy, envy. Because he's purified us, as we read there in the first chapter. Because he's purified us and set us free. Because he's given us not perishable seed, but something that doesn't perish through his word. Therefore, get rid of, lay aside all this stuff that goes on in church, all this stuff that goes on in our families, all the stuff that goes on in our lives. Lay it down. Get rid of it. Envy, slander, all the stuff that was from the old life before we knew him. Lay it down. And this is the verse that really sort of inspired me to really move into this morning. Verse 2. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Let me break that down a little bit this morning. You know, like newborn babies. When Bailey was born, and we were over there, all healthy babies crave their mother's milk or bottle. And poor little Bailey, when she was a tiny, if I'm nursing her, she'd latch onto my nose, my ear, anything that was close, because she wanted to feed. It's a natural instinct of a newborn child to just go for mum. You know, I was no good. I kept saying, Bailey, I'm no good for you. I've got nothing. You know, where's the bottle? But ought we not like to be like that as children of the living God? Ought we not have a craving for him, a desire for his word like that? And this isn't talking the way Paul talked about, you know, by now you should be on to meat and not on. This is not the same. This is saying, you know, and to some extent we are all God's kids all the way through our natural lives. But he's saying here there's a craving as a newborn. A healthy newborn will want to go to smell it. You know, oh, that we could smell the aroma of God's presence in his word, in a person, to be able to share it, to touch them and reach out to them. That's how God would have us to be. With that desire here, it's a really strong emotion. That craving, that desire, if you look it up in the very ancient sort of Greek descriptions of scripture in the Old Testament, it actually has this word here, this craving. It's the same as what it says in one of the Psalms, where it says, as a deer pants for the water. It's that same meaning. It's panting, it's like, desperate, you know. Just give me more, Lord. Desperate for water. You know when you've been out on a hot day and you forgot your water bottle? You know, and I don't know, I certainly am like it. You know, sometimes I just could get in and drink a gallon when the dogs come in after when they walk them in the mornings. You know, they can just drink their bowl dry. Desperate for water. Because they know the water will do them good. The water will rehydrate them. You know, sometimes we can be old and leathery and wrinkled spiritually when God wants us supple and just full of him. Full of him to share and to give and to be useful for him. You know, I'm not talking about putting new wine in old wineskins. Sometimes we need to throw the old wineskin away and invest in a new one. You know, and then say, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh. Give me a new start. Lord, I crave. It's a strong emotional word here in Scripture. A craving, a panting, a desire. It's like a child for mum's sustenance. They know that's where they're going to be fed. That's where they know the bread's buttered. And so as adults, you know, your bread's buttered in Jesus this morning. He's got it sorted out. You know, it's lurpak as well. It's good stuff. It's tasty stuff. You know, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And it says here, that verse 3, that now that you've tasted, the Lord is good. And I challenge you this morning, if you tasted and you found him good, what will you do about it? Will you want more of him? More of him. I know we've all come to sort of semi-retire or to do, you know, do things we've not done all our lives. But, you know, I'm not saying we need to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But we need to learn how to drink in from God. Drink in from his word. It's just not enough just to put this into our little bag and say, I've got it. But we've got to use it. We've got to use it. And this is the good bit. As if that wasn't good. This is lovely. I'm going to wrap up in a minute. Dangerous words, as Duncan will say, but I'll try and do it really quickly. It's hot. As you come to him, the living stone, this is 1 Peter 2, 4, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you are also living stones. Peter is talking about, you know, the fact is that Jesus came and he was rejected. Precious to God, precious to the Father, but rejected by men. As we come, as we choose him, we become living stones. And it says there, I've been built up into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Duncan spoke last week about disappointment. Another version, the Amplified Bible, it says of this verse, "And the one who trusts in him, in his word, will never be disappointed." You want a cure for disappointment? It's in here. It's in his word. It's in Jesus this morning. That's the cure for disappointment. The one who trusts in Jesus will never be put to shame, will never be disappointed. A chosen and precious cornerstone. You know, he's our keystone, our cornerstone, our firm foundation. Acts 4:12 says, "Salvation's found in nothing else. Don't look for it anywhere else, but in him, our firm foundations." Let me just read you just a little bit here from Ephesians. Ephesians 2:19-22, and it says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises and to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." You see, in the biblical times there was the Jews and the Gentiles. Suddenly Jesus comes on the scene, and Jesus becomes the cornerstone that joins the two walls together, the Jewish wall and the Gentile wall. You know, I'm not going to go there this morning, but if you read further on this chapter, it talks about us being a chosen people. We are as chosen today as the Israelites are, because we are in him. Through Jesus we are a chosen generation. Through him we take on this. It's only because of Jesus. Because he is the cornerstone. Because he has knit us. You see, a cornerstone will determine how the building is. The keystones, the cornerstones, the lintels, everything, they will determine how the building goes together. You know, nothing will be built in this church other than him crucified. He is the cornerstone. He is the one who binds it together. I've said this to you before, my old Spanish house up in the country there, we have no foundations at all. We have a big rock at every angle of the building. We're built on a rocky outcrop, but there's nothing. It's just old stones laid on top of soil, on top of rock. And every time there's an angle, internal angle, external angle, there's a huge rock at the corner. You know, all of you who live out here have known about the earthquakes. The local earthquake certainly shook us, and I got cracks in outbuildings and walls that never been put. But our little house, I don't know how it remains, but it does, because the stones determine it. You know, will you let Jesus be your cornerstone today? Will you let him determine your future? Will you give him that rightful place, just as he built that strength into the corner where the Jews and the Gentiles would be drawn together through him? Will you allow that in your life? Will you allow Father to be that cornerstone for you, that lintel for you, that capstone for you? Because it's so important. Because if you have him in place, you know, your building will be secure. Your spiritual building will be secure. But you need to say, "Father, I give you that place." You see, sometimes we just want to build our own stuff. without him. You know, and that's why it's so important that all the scripture talks about it. It's not by works, but it's by him, by his grace that we are saved. It's not by what we do. So often we want to do things to work our way to heaven, do things to work our way to that place. And Father says, no, that's not the way. I want you to allow my son to be your capstone. Let him be that cornerstone. Let him be that stone in your life that gives you security for the future. You know, I don't know, as I said, what makes our little house stand up, but it does. Scripturally this morning, you know, I don't know what makes this church exist, but it does. And oh, may we never drift off the fact that it's all because of him. It's all because of what he does. It's all because of his sacrifice. It's all because of that. And I am this morning, and I'm not going to go there to read it. I haven't got time. But I just want to finish on the words really out of Matthew 7, 24, 27. It talks about the house built on the rock and the house built on the sand. And you know the story. We sung about it in Sunday school. Done it. Got the t-shirt and everything. There was no difference between the house that was built on the sand than the house that was built on the rock, except for where it was built. It is easier, folks, to dig foundations in sandy ground than it is to dig in rock. And I believe I'm challenging you this morning. Father's saying he wants you to stop digging some rock out. He wants you to put the stone in the right place. He wants to build for me. And will you allow him to build you in the wall? Will you allow him? Because it's not you. You're not going to build yourself in the wall. He's going to build you in the wall. He's going to fit you into where he wants you in Spain. He's going to fit you into that place and use you if you're willing to be built there. If you want to do it yourself, then do it yourself. But it's not a godly way. Challenge you this morning. God says, will you allow me to mold to you as a living stone into this wall? That's going to be something beautiful for me. Beautiful for this town. Beautiful for this area. Beautiful for your family. Beautiful for your friends. If you allow me to do it, I'll build you in. But you've got to let me be your cornerstone. You've got to let me be the stone on which you stand. It's not the size of the house. It's the way the house is constructed. That's the important thing. Let's pray together. Precious God. Father, I thank you this morning, that, Lord, that you are indeed a living hope. You're a living word and a living stone. And Father, I pray, Father, just as you challenge my heart, that you'll challenge the heart of every person here this morning. But Lord, that we might just have that trust and faith and hope in you that is living. Because of your word, that anchors us in you. Because of the anchor stone, the capstone, the arch, Father, stone this morning that binds it, that makes it strong. Father, we come to you as living stones this morning. We don't want to be dead stones, Father. We don't want to be people with a bag full of stuff, but we want to be people with a heart full of you. Father, a faith-filled heart full of you, that, Father, that we just challenge to touch our world with your love. Lord, we bless you. We thank you for thinking that much of us, Father. Father, forgive us for digging in sand. Forgive us, Father, for taking the easy way out. Father, help us to be strong and to dig, Father, if necessary, on the rock, because we know that it's the rock that's solid, it's the rock that's going to hold, it's the rock where our future is going to be. And Father, I pray this church will go on from strength to strength as we continue, Father, to build, not on man, but on you. Build on the rock Christ Jesus. Thank you for your love for us, Lord.